Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews 10, starting in verse 26, ending in verse 39, where he brings a sobering word and a warning from the scriptures about being in rebellion to God and how to turn back to your first love. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 10, verse 26.
Those early days of illumination where he opened your eyes to the truth, when he gave you insight to scriptures, when he spoke to your heart so tenderly and lovingly back in the beginning, do you remember those days? The writer is appealing to those days and saying, hey, you've got to go back and remember those days if you're contemplating quitting. You've got to go back and remember those days when Jesus first opened your eyes and you were enduring. Enduring is a word of fighting, a word of combat. It's a word of war. It's speaking of one who plays the rules by the game. You were all in. Remember in the beginning, you were all in. You endured great afflictions. Partly, he says in verse 33, was while you were made a gazing stock, man. That's the word that we get theater from. It was like you were on stage as a spectacle for everybody to see back in the beginning. Everyone was looking at you and thinking, well, what's different about this person? Well, what happened to this person? Look at them. They've got their Bibles out in the break room. I've never seen them talk about the Bible, let alone read the Bible, ever before. Listen to this music that's playing in their car. Look how they talk now. Look how they act. You were a gazing stock. You were like somebody who's on the stage in theater performing. Everybody around you was watching you. They were astounded. Remember what it was like in the adversity you faced? People started talking about you. People started retracting in their relationship with you and their pursuit of you and their invites to you. Remember that in the beginning and all the adversity? You endured that, though. You remember? He's saying this to them. You remember you endured that. You thought it was worth it. You thought the majesty and the beauty of Jesus and what he's revealed to you was worth it. Do you remember when the Spirit of grace revealed the person of grace to you? He says, do you remember these days? Don't just blitz through it in your memory list. Stop and go stew and chew over it. Let it move you. Let it touch you. You have so much skin in the game. Listen, I'm not here anymore right now. I'm done trying to preach this sermon. The duration, I already gave you the breakdown. I'm going to speak to you like a prophet. Some of you are in this room this morning and you're feeling exactly what these people who originally got this letter were feeling. You seriously are ready to quit. You seriously are, after years, months, weeks of walking with Jesus, you seriously are thinking about throwing in the towel. You're entertaining it. No one knows. Your kids have no clue. Your wife has no clue. Your husbands have no clue. Listen, your fellow elders have no clue. You could be one of my elders in this room, and it's you. Other pastors might have no idea. And it's not because it's sin necessary. It's just because it's too hard. It's just because kicking against the grain, going against the flow of this world, it's just too much. The straight and the narrow, it's just too difficult. So you think, listen to me, please. You've got too much skin in the game. You've already endured too much, and you've been playing by the rules. You've already been fighting the good fight of faith. You've already won a lot of wars. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And he's saying this to us right now. You got to think about all those feats that you have in him. He has constantly brought you from grace to grace. He's constantly brought you from victory to victory. You never thought you were going to be able to tell your mom and dad that you got saved. You never thought you were going to be able to admit in a public setting that you're born again. Listen to me, personal testimony. I didn't think I'd ever be able to pray in Jesus' name in front of a group of unbelievers where it's hostile. Before I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't have holy boldness. I had no clue, but you stay the course. You be patient with yourself and that sanctification process. Jesus has your back. He will do in and through you what you can never fathom. Just keep showing up. Just another day. Just one more day with Jesus. Just keep giving him your life. Just keep placing your life in his hands and watch and see the miracle worker make something spectacular out of you. Just watch and see. Please remember, he says, you endured a great fight of afflictions. It was no light fight. It was no weak fight. It was no easy fight. It's been a great fight of affliction. Some of you have been fighting. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Now is not the time for Christians to relent, to retract, to call quits. Now is the time to charge. Now is the time to gather together in Jesus' name. Now is the time to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to provoke each other unto good works. He says, not only did you do that, though, as he calls us to remembrance of the skin in the game, he goes, it's not even just like you fought your fight. He's like, you were somebody, not only who was made a gazing stock, somebody who fought your own fights, but you also, verse 3, you were somebody who became a companion of those who were also being treated that way. You got people's backs. You were fighting for other people. He's like, you were fighting for other people. You remember when you walked into church and you saw so-and-so and you could tell that the world has been taking a toll on them? Because listen to me, you could tell when the world is taking a toll on people. People who walk with Jesus have a radiance, an inner beauty that just is insane. People who are not walking with Jesus have a darkness to them. Even if they're stunning, even if they got perfectly white teeth and white eyes and tan skin and no pimples and everything else, their bodies could be mint, doesn't really matter. There's an ugliness inside that permeates, or a desperation inside the permeates, as there is a loveliness of Jesus that comes forth. And don't make any you know, misunderstandings about this here. Jesus was a man who wasn't comely in his physical visage, but he was the most attractive human ever because of his integrity and his truth and his grace. You were somebody, he says. You're here today and you're ready to quit. You don't even have your Bible open. You're not even following. You're barely even paying attention. You're so hard-hearted right now, you're ready to quit. He said, but you used to be somebody who used to fight the fight for yourself and your family and other people. You used to be somebody who was looking around the church, looking around the classroom, looking around the break room, looking around the neighborhood, looking around the meeting, trying to find out who else is feeling discouraged. You went alongside them and you encouraged them. You fought for other people. He said, you got too much skin in the game. You've already been mocked. You've already been ridiculed. You're already ousted. You're already not a part. Why would you now relent? It's already happened. In some senses, the worst is over. You had compassion even on me, the writer says. I think it's Paul. Verse 34, he says, man, I was in prison in bonds, and you guys sold your stuff, he says. You had joy at one time. Believe it, please listen. There was a season where you had joy. He's like, you remember that? You had joy? You were joyfully doing things. By the leading of God's Spirit, you joyfully took the spoiling of your goods. Listen, that's King James vernacular. You're not hearing it. It's like this. You went on Facebook Market or whatever that is there. I don't do that stuff, but some of you do and you know. Or you sold your stuff online or you made a buck here or a buck there on the appliance that you got rid of and you took it and you gave it to me and you did it joyfully, the writer says. You were a different creature. You went from that to contemplating quitting. And I guess I want to say this to you right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking things that are fresh right now. It's for people in this service. I want to say this to you right now. It's not abnormal as a Christian to be 60 and then 20. 60 miles an hour, blitzing the expressway, to 20 miles an hour, stalling out. I guess some of you need to be alleviated and know that right now. I don't know what type of trip you've been having put on you, but I'm here to tell you right now as a heralder of the gospel that it is absolutely normal, or the writer wouldn't be saying this, to be one season of your life all in, fighting for yourself, fighting for others, joyfully taking your money and giving it to other people. You don't do that before you're saved, unless it's a write-off. It's your ulterior motive. You were different. And you went from that to looking at the apostates and contemplating maybe following them. But I'm going to fight for you, the writer says. Remember your joy you had in Jesus? He said, you got to know in yourselves. That might be the most important phrase in the whole sermon. Right there in the middle of verse 34. You've got to know in yourselves. This cannot be something I can know for Shauna in the first row. This cannot be something that Shauna knows for me. This can't be something that my dad and my mom who raised me in the truth can know for me or I for them. I can't know it for my youngest brother, Josiah, my sister, Joelle, my brother, Daniel. I can't know it for any of you, and I can't even know it for my own children one day when they come to the age of accountability. I can't know it as your pastor for you, even if you take a seat in my services every single Sunday, and you can't know it for me as your pastor. This is something that every individual has to know in themselves. You've got to know in yourselves that you have in heaven, because of Jesus, a better and an enduring substance. You've got an inheritance because of your proclamation, your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got an inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Listen, you've got skin in the game, and you've got so much more on the other side of eternity to claim. You've got to know that, though, in your heart. I'm all stoked on what's happening right now with Kanye. I've been getting, you know, text messages for the last week or two about, hey, did you check out this Jesus King, you know, record that he has in these interviews? I was just reading one on New York Times before I came out. It was, I thought I made a copy of it, but I must have left it in my office. Spectacular. He's straight up professing Jesus Christ. I didn't listen to the whole record yet. I've listened to a few songs. His lyrics are more accurate than some sermons in the church. I mean, he's right now on point. And I celebrate it because I think God's using it. Justin Bieber, Hailey Bieber would have become icons to the young Christian population. Listen, great. Praise God. I don't know. I hope that they're really sincere. I hope they're really the Lord's. And I'm applauding God using them the way that he is using them. I'm not discrediting it. I'm not supposing against it. I'm just, hey, praise the Lord, because he's already seen him using it. People are going to entertain the idea of even believing in Jesus, seeking Jesus because of them alone. I got text messages. Somebody might even be here in this service. I talked to you yesterday. Some of you said that you might come to church. Maybe it's because of their influence. People are reaching out. People are going to follow the trend, maybe. But I want to say this to you. What if Kanye next week says, you know what, forget Christ. I was crazy. I was wrong. I should have never done it. And he denounces everything he proclaims. Do you know in yourself that Jesus is King? Are you ready to say, though, none go with me, Kanye, Bieber, pastor, my buddy sitting next to me, we laugh, but I'm serious right now. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to say, I have chosen this day whom I will serve? And as for me and whatever house I got, whatever house, if it's just my house, if it's my wife in my house, if it's my kids in my house, whoever's under my house, we will serve the Lord. There has to be that. There has to be that. Listen, it's great that celebrities come to Christ. It's great that but we don't need that to make this wonderful. It's already wonderful apart from any celebrity that comes to Christ. Whether they come to Christ, leave Christ, stay in Christ. You guys got to be ready that are following these guys that are bigwigs, that are being used by the Lord powerfully and the church. Their platforms are tremendous that God has given to them. But if they start getting funny in their sermons that you stream, if they stop talking about the precious blood of Jesus and the issues of sin, and they stray away from these things that are they become hot topics, they become quote-unquote gray areas, and they're not, they're black and white. If they start to do these things, you've got to be prepared to know in yourself the truth. Don't cast away, he says, your confidence. You have such an amazing reward. He is going to honor you. The King is going to honor you. He's going to give you crowns, beloved. Do you know that this morning? He's going to literally give you crowns to reward you what you've done for him. You're going to be rewarded in the millennial reign. You're going to reign and rule with the King. He's like, don't start to lose this here. You've got an amazing recompense of reward. I know it's hard. I know there's tension. I know people don't always like you because of the Jesus in you. I know, young ladies, that you're called a prude because you won't have sex before marriage. I know, guys, that the dudes on the construction site, the rough and tough men with calloused hands and work boots and whatever else, they have a chew or whatever in their mouth, and they're spitting, and they're talking to you like you're a pansy because you won't live with your girl before you get married. Stay strong. Stay strong. There's a reward coming. There's a reward coming. I get my chops broke. I get my chops broke by guys that I grew up with, people that I know. You know, oh, he's around. Careful how you speak now. I get the stuff. I feel it. I can feel people say, oh, he's here. It's buzzkill, you know. I understand it stinks sometimes. And sometimes we all just want to come out from under that and just fit in again. But think about what you're going to give up. You got so much skin in the game, and you got so much more to claim. There's a recompense reward that's coming from King Jesus that when you see him and you see it, the only thing you're going to do is this: I wish I lived more for you. And those tough guys that are mocking you are going to be wetting their pants when they stand before that throne and receiving their judicial condemnation for rejecting the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. No posse gathered together getting sent to hell at that point. Oh, hell's going to be a great party. I can't. No, there ain't going to be no party, and there ain't going to be anybody else standing next to you to strengthen you. Strength's in numbers. You'll be stripped of that. It'll be you and him, the one that you have to do with. You got a reward coming. Payday's coming. He's going to bless you and he's going to honor you. So hang tight because it's only a little while. Remember I told you in the beginning, verse 37, it's just a very little while compared to eternity. It's all that this is. The dash between birth date and death date. It's quick, brief, vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow, like a flower in the field, like a puff of air. That's it. He says it's just a very little while, and if you get to escape death, we're going to see the return of Jesus Christ. We might be the generation that hears the trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel, and Christ saying, come up hither. We could be it because it's just a little while, a very little while. He's not going to tarry. Remember, the just shall live by faith. He's getting worked up. I know he is. He said in Romans 1, the just shall live by faith. The emphasis there is developed by the context, the just. He said it in Galatians 3, the just, the emphasis is shall live. The just shall live. And then he says it like this: the just shall live. And the emphasis here in Hebrews chapter 10 is by faith. You got to keep living by faith. You got to have endurance. Keep going. Keep trucking. One more day. Walk with the Lord. He says you got to have faith. You live by faith. Quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, the prophet who said these things inspired by the Spirit when he was in the midst of doubting himself. The just got to live by faith. Saved by faith. Kept by faith. Live by faith, he says. Don't draw back. There's nowhere to go. Don't draw back, he says. My soul, speaking for the Lord, will have no pleasure in those who forsake him. But we, he changes his pronouns for the closing. We. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Listen, he says this. You got two choices: a wasted life or a worthy life. Perdition there in verse 39 is translated best, my opinion, waste. You give up on Jesus, where are you going to go? You give up on Jesus and his word and his ways, where are you going to go? It's going to be a wasted life if you do that, he says. But you can live a worthy life if you go from faith to faith. And he's going to do this now in chapter 11. We'll see it in the weeks to come. He's going to say this, and you can do it because you are encompassed, chapter 12, with a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering you on, who already did it, and they were just like you. Just like you. Men and women just like you, filled with faults and failures, blew it left and right, but by the grace of God, they finished. There's a charge here this morning, and it comes from on high. It comes from the captain of our salvation. It comes from Jesus for the week of October. What's today's date? 27th, and it's this: just keep going one more day at a time. Keep going. There's a whole cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on that have finished. Men who lusted, men who were angry, women who did things not always the right way, but they finished, and Jesus says, I want you to finish too. I want you to finish. I want you to finish. No suicide. It's not an option. You've been bought with the most precious price of the blood of Jesus. It's not an option. Sons and daughters of the King, it's not an option. No suicide. He's got plans and purposes for you. No going back to the world. You're not a dog that goes back to his vomit. You're a child of the King. That's unbelievers, Proverbs is speaking about. You're not an unbeliever. He started something spectacular in you. He's going to finish it. You failed, he's not going to let failure have its final say. Get over it. A righteous man falls 7 times. We all have fallen. We all fall. We're going to fall. We're going to fall today. We're going to fall this week. Get back up. Get back up and lean into the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Would you stand so I could pray for you? Lord, I feel like this might have been one of my hardest messages I've ever preached. I can't imagine what your heart is feeling. This is not a message to be preached or read haphazardly, nonchalantly, with no passion or emotion. This is life and death. And I think of what Moses, your servant, said when he told the people of Israel to choose this day, life or death. I pray right now, God, as your people are in the valley of decision, whether they like it or not, whether they want to be or they don't want to be, Lord, I pray that they would choose life in you today. I pray today, just one more day, just another day, they would choose doing life with you, Jesus, and that your strength would be sufficient. I believe that what people in this room are facing and dealing with are real issues, real problems, real difficulties that would cause the faint of heart to quit. But Lord, we are not the tail, we are the head in you. We are not to faint, we are to bear up, Lord, on wings of eagles. We are to soar, not sink. We are to run, not to be sidelined. We are to keep our eyes fixed on the prize. And Jesus, we thank you for your outstanding example of doing that, Lord, for us. When you went to Jerusalem to be crucified, your face was like flint towards your destination. And I pray, Lord, is our destination not just an image, but a place. Lord, our eyes would be fixed upon. Please, Lord, help us. Keep us. Bless us, we pray, and strengthen us. We love you and we thank you for your precious word. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all God's people.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.